Hey guys, I'm Eric McLean.
And I'm Kelly Gramlich. It's time to talk some ACC sports.
Let's go!
Happy Tuesday, everyone, and welcome into the Gramlich and McLean podcast brought to you by Traeger Grills. We had another crazy week of ACC hoops. We have tons to discuss today. What the heck is wrong with Duke? That's a question that a lot of people are asking. What the heck is wrong with Clemson? They have fallen off the face of the earth. Virginia and Florida State, just how good are they? We've got a blockbuster matchup in the women's game as well. But first and foremost, Eric McLean, my friend, how's it going?
It is going great, Kelly. We've got good basketball. We've got NFL playoffs. We've got a schedule coming out. Guys, we're going to have kind of an emergency podcast, if you will. We'll release that on Friday just to go through the ACC football schedule. It's nuts that this is the earliest, like ever, Kelly,
ever
we have had an ACC football schedule come out. I'm super excited about it. But you know what else I'm super excited about, Kelly Gramlich? My freaking Traeger grill. let me tell you about this. Look, I had something written down. I'm not even going to read this. I'm just going to tell you guys, because I think what's really something that should and needs to be said is just how easy this grill is from start to finish. Look, you get it in an amazing box that has these unreal step-by-step directions, great illustrations, easy to follow rules. You put it together so you feel like, you know, a man's man, a woman's woman when you're putting together this grill. And then you just have the satisfaction of the technology. You have this Wi-Fi capability where, listen, basketball is a fast game. Football, a lot of things happen quickly. Baseball, you never know, you know, what is going to happen. And so you can be cooking all this stuff. After you prep it, after you get it on the grill, I can do everything from my chair and not move until 6 hours later when those ribs are done. The technology is amazing. I can change the temperature. I can change the time. I can see how hot my meat is being cooked. Guys, I'm telling you, there are endless possibilities with the Traeger. It's so easy. And I've told you guys this time and time again, I wasn't a barbecue pro by any means, but when I'm using the Traeger, I absolutely am. You can find your local Traeger dealer today by visiting TraegerGrills.com/ACC. And once you've browsed around, once you've found what you want from Traeger, use our code ACC Sports, free shipping on your entire order, Kelly Gramlich.
Let's go. Free shipping is big because these grills, I mean, you're not shipping something small. So the shipping is going to be somewhat costly.
That's right. It'll help out a ton.
Mac, you had me at sitting in my couch, sitting in my chair when I cook. You had me right there. You had me sold.
It makes it super easy. Kelly, before we get in, should we also tell everybody about our guest on Thursday?
Yes. Super pumped about this as we're getting more and more basketball guests. We are going to have LaChyna Robinson on with us. She is, I mean, she does everything. She actually does everything. She is one of the most famous and well-known voices for the women's game, not just ACC, but beyond, and the WNBA. She just does it all. And she's great. I've gotten to know her a lot better being with ACC Network. She's someone I've looked up to for a very long time. She has a great journey into sports media. I don't think she really started trying to get into sports media until about age 29 or 30. So she has a very interesting story there of how she did it. And now she's one of the biggest voices in the game. So, and one of the nicest people. So I can't wait to have LaChyna Robinson on, because we have a huge matchup in the women's game coming up, Mac. Knock on some wood, because we already tried to play this game once and it didn't happen. So, because both NC State and Louisville have been on COVID pauses at some point during the season. Louisville's number one. NC State's number two. We're going to break down that matchup later on here in the pod, and LaChyna is going to help us break it down later on too. But that game, Mac, I can't wait. It is going to be one of the biggest games in ACC basketball history.
Yeah, men's, women's, anything. This is a massive game, and we're bringing in the big guns. We're bringing in LaChyna Robinson. We're bringing in Kelly Gramlich. We're going to break it all down. Let's do a little bit of recap before we jump into what we've got on the schedule. Let's talk about what happened a week ago. We've got a couple of ranked teams in the ACC on the men's side. Number 8, Virginia. You saw them in action yesterday. They looked dominant, looked really good. Number 16, Florida State. Another team. I think those are going to be the two battling it out for ACC supremacy at the end of the tournament there. Number 20, Virginia Tech. And then Louisville slides in at number 25. Kelly, let's start with talking about yesterday's game, Virginia, Syracuse. What did you see in that game?
Oh, man. Virginia looked so good. They shot the ball absolutely lights out. And we were talking about this on the podcast, Mac. When was Sam Hauser going to become Sam Hauser, going to become the guy that some thought could be the ACC player of the year? Well, unfortunately for Clemson fans, it all started against Clemson. Since that Clemson game, he has been excellent. And in that Syracuse win last night, he hit 7 threes, no big deal, hit 5 in the first half, had 21 points. Trey Murphy, the transfer from Rice, he has been really good. He hit 4 threes for them. Kihei Clark had 9 assists and 2 turnovers. Come on. Jay Huff was great. He had 2 blocks. He had 21 and 12. Virginia was just methodical. I mean, they were surgical against this zone. They were putting on a clinic of how to beat a zone. And this is where, look, I respect Jim Boeheim. He's done a lot of great stuff. He's won a bunch of games. He's won a national title at Syracuse. But when you play one way and you're playing a team like Virginia and they're shooting absolute lights out, 14 of 31 from three, and you can't get out of your zone, then your hands are tied when another team is shooting the ball like that. And even the way they continued to play the zone, they still were helping off of shooters. It was kind of baffling. And you do have to give a lot of credit to Kihei Clark, who I'm still trying to find the best way to describe him, Mac. He reminds me of like a little ant, you know? He can just get in the littlest of places. He is so fast. And he would penetrate the zone, get in the ACC logo, and he would make the right decision every time, whether it was a lob, whether it was a pass to the corner for Murphy or Hauser for a three. A few times he took his own shot, but he was great. And if you want to know how to beat a zone, you just got to watch that Virginia tape against Syracuse. They were excellent.
And I thought what was a little bit interesting, or what is maybe a little bit interesting about this Virginia team, is it's not necessarily the guards that are knocking down these trays. And maybe that's why Syracuse couldn't figure it out, which I'm not sure how. You see a guy like Hauser and those big 7-footers out there just popping it. But it's their big guys. It's kind of a mismatch problem, because what are you going to do? You're going to come out there quickly. They're just going to dump it down as fast as they can. You've got a 7-foot-1 guy who can pump fake, take a dribble, and kick it to the open guy. So Virginia playing really well right now. Syracuse, though, again, they're a sneaky team. Well, I'm sure at the end of this season, when it all comes down to it, we're going to be talking about, hey, they're on the bubble. Guess what's new? Nothing much there. I want to move to another new blood, Kelly. Florida State, these guys are playing at a very, very high level. What are you seeing from them? What's their ceiling? I'll go ahead and ask you that.
This is a sentence I never thought I would say, Mac. I love Florida State. And it pains me a little bit, to be honest, to say that. Mac and I are both Clemson grads, as you guys know if you listen to the pod. But we are doing our best to break down ACC sports in a completely non-biased way. And we try, we think we do a decent job. I love watching Florida State play basketball. I love it. They are so balanced. They are so unselfish. They are so deep. They've got 10 guys. They can just roll at you. They bring in another 5, like it's the NBA, like they're just bringing in their second 5. They have such great size. But what's crazy about their size is that everybody on the floor can shoot the 3, can attack the rim, can handle the rock, can play defense. In that Clemson game, which was really rough for the Tigers, Raekwon Gray, who I think is the most underrated player for Florida State, he had 2 fouls early. He wasn't even really a factor. MJ Walker took over. Koprivica was really good. Scotty Barnes was great. You had Wyatt Wilkes. You have all these guys, and then more guys coming off the bench. So I love the brand of basketball. I think Virginia and Florida State, they both play such different brands of basketball. That's what's so unique about these two programs. They're the two best programs in the league right now, but they do it in very different ways. If I had to pick my favorite right now, and I know Luke Hancock was on with us last week. If you missed it, go listen to it. And he said he was betting on Virginia right now. Even after watching Virginia dismantle Syracuse last night, I am still riding with the new bloods right now. I'm going with Florida State because I think their depth is unparalleled. I think they have a really good veteran leader in MJ Walker, and they have so many different guys that have just very little, you know, they're kind of different skill sets, but they're all so versatile. I've been blown away that Leonard Hamilton's been able to do this after losing those guys, losing a couple guys to the league, and they're still right back in it. I think they're the best team in the ACC.
I agree with you, and they're so fun to watch. And maybe I'm still riding with Virginia a little bit, but to see the depth, and I remember early in these podcasts when we were transitioning to basketball, and maybe even a little before, we were talking about, I'm not sure if FSU is going to have the depth like they normally do. Well, surprise, surprise. Yeah, they sure do. And I'll tell you, one guy that is just so unique to me is Kobrevica. And seeing him at 7'1", 7'2", be able to run the floor, dribble the ball up the court, at take a pump fake, get to the rim, slam it on you. I think he's going to keep emerging as an X factor. He's getting more and more confident. FSU, they're scary, and it's going to be fun to watch. Let's wrap up the men here right now with UNC. I think they're getting better. We're seeing better guard play. We're seeing shots being knocked down. Between them or Louisville, I'm going to put you on the spot again. Who would you kind of lean to that you can think make a really big push here, UNC or Louisville?
That's a great question, Mac. UNC and Louisville have both played a lot better lately, and we know North Carolina's front court is great. Their guards have stepped up. RJ Davis, Caleb Love, they're starting to play better. That Roy Williams quote, these guys will play better basketball before I die. Well, thankfully for Roy, it's happening now. So that is really good news for Roy. And Kerwin Walton looks good. Anthony Harris has emerged. They have a lot of depth at North Carolina as well. Some of it's a little less proven than the depth at Florida State. I like Louisville. I'm not sure they should be ranked right now. I think we're giving them a bump because they beat Duke, but like Duke's not good. So let's just keep that in mind. And Florida State just blew out Louisville earlier in the week. I think Carleigh Jones is one of the best players in the ACC. I like he and David Johnson together. But beyond that, I have a lot of questions about Louisville. So in that question, right now, I would go with UNC because they have more depth. And that depth is really starting to play better and more consistently.
I like that. And I think they are getting better. They're figuring out who they are as a team. They're coming together. And at the end of the day, it's all about guard play with UNC. You look at their teams historically, and we've had almost every guest on here tell us this. When UNC is really, really good, they have explosive veteran group at the guard position. They're young, but they're growing up right in front of our eyes. All right, let's move to the women's. We've obviously have the top two teams in the country, 1-2, one Louisville first time ever, gets away sneakily. And our girl Dana Evans coming up clutch, showing the fear factor at zero, the clutch factor at 100. Mm-hmm. NC State number two. We'll get more into that game specifically. Hope we see those guys. But I want to ask you about Syracuse first. We've seen them lose a couple in a row now. Should we be worried about Syracuse? Is it injury? Is it sickness? I mean, what was kind of the factor in these two losses against Louisville? And then Clemson, where really they were getting blown out and then show great resiliency to come back and score like 50-something points in the second half, get it to overtime, eventually lose. But should people be worried about the Syracuse women?
That Clemson-Syracuse game was bonkers. Clemson played really well in the first half and then basically didn't show up in the second half. And Syracuse was the complete opposite. And then Clemson won in overtime. It was a fun game. I'm not too worried about Syracuse. Here's the deal with the Orange. They just played four games in the last 7 days. Okay, so they beat Miami. They beat North Carolina. Two good wins. They go to Louisville. They play Louisville tough. They held them to under 70 points. Very few teams do that. And then right after that, they go to Clemson. So that was their fourth game in 7 days. I was very impressed that they didn't just fold and give up when they were down like 25 at halftime. They fought back. I think with Syracuse, they're still trying to figure out exactly who they are because they had such a long break. They were on a pause before Christmas. Then they were on a pause after Christmas. Tiana had a little bit of a foot injury. So they're still working things out. So I wouldn't be too worried about Syracuse. Four games in 7 days after you haven't played for a very long time is no joke. And Camila Cardoso, who is the ACC Freshman of the Week, who's 6'7", she is no joke. I think they're going to start playing a lot more through her. I still like their guard play, but I think Cardoso is a special player. So I wouldn't panic quite yet with Syracuse. I still think they're a good team.
Yeah, and then how about just overall on the women's side, the fact that every single game decided by 9 or less points, I mean, that's got to be encouraging to see that everybody's being competitive and stepping up and playing.
Yesterday was so much fun. And I should say Sunday. We're recording this Monday night. You guys know the drill. It's Monday night. But Sunday's games, it was a blast. And even that Louisville-Wake Forest game, I have seen a lot of these middle-of-the-pack programs really take a step. And what Coach Hoover has done at Wake Forest, I think she's done a great job. What Coach Butler has done at Clemson, what Nell Fortner's doing at Georgia Tech, they look really good. Georgia Tech is finally receiving votes, Mac. And They don't have a signature win. They lost to NC State and they lost to Georgia, which is a good win. They almost won that game. I called that game. But I think Georgia Tech is really good. So keep an eye on the Yellow Jackets. But overall, to have the number one and number two teams, that is very rare. We're going to have a number one versus number two battle, and it's great for the league. But the middle of the league is really good. And you've got bubble teams like Wake Forest, Clemson, North Carolina that need to keep winning to help the league get as many teams in as possible. So it's a really fun time to start following the women's side because every single game is so important because so many of these teams are trying to make the tournament.
All right. Last thing I'm going to ask you about the women's side before we get to our big three breakdown brought to you by our friends over at Sunshine. NC State, they had a long layoff. I thought that they were going to come out and make a statement against Virginia Tech and really have a solid victory. They get a dub, obviously much needed, a two-point win. They did have three players score over 20. How are you feeling? It's just always, I mean, it's better to get a win than a loss in that situation, or are you thinking this Louisville matchup coming up, man, it's looking a little scary for the Pack?
Well, okay, the bottom line with NC State is that Elisa Kunain is out right now due to COVID protocol. We don't know exactly what that means. I don't know when she's going to be back, but Elisa Kunain is their best player. She's one of the best players in the country. So Kayla Jones and others stepped up. I love Kayla Jones. She is kind of like the Raekwon Gray of NC State. She's unheralded a little bit, but she's so good and she's so tough. And she made huge shots for NC State Sunday night when they beat Virginia Tech. Weirdly enough, Mac, they play Virginia Tech again. That is a weird ACC scheduling quirk. They play them this week. So I don't know what's going to happen there. But that's just kind of the big question that we're all waiting to see. Is Kunain back? Is she back for February 1st? That is going to be a huge issue. If she isn't, then I'm more worried for NC State than I am, obviously, if she is. We'll break that down a little more, but that's the huge question. It's like, imagine if you're, let's just say, for example, Virginia, they're going to play whoever on the men's side, and they don't have Sam Hauser. I mean, it's honestly bigger than that. Kunain is more important. Kunain is one of the most valuable pieces for her team in the country, men's or women. So it's a big deal.
All right. Well, Kelly, before we get to our big three breakdown brought to you by our good friends at Sunshine, they've got a little fun stuff going on. Tell us what Sunshine has new today.
That's right. Well, we know it's a start of a new week and you're busy. You're on the go. You want an easy, delicious boost, but you don't want to overload on caffeine. So you want Sunshine. And let me tell you guys, Sunshine just came out with their sparkling energy waters. Y'all, these will change your life. This is how I really got into Sunshine because I am a sparkling water obsessed person. Okay, I have like three LaCroix a day. It's really weird. So these Sunshine sparkling waters, it's LaCroix with energy. Like that's really what it is. Zero sugar, zero calories, great flavors like citrus lime, lotus pear, and pomegranate acai. Mac, of those three, which one is your fave? Those are so good, all of them.
Lotus pear, and it's not really close.
Really? Interesting.
That's actually moved to my number one of all of them. It's a great, great flavor. You can't go wrong with any of the three, but the lotus pear, it tastes like I'm eating a pear, and I'm ready to go run.
I love pears.
6 miles, so I'm good.
Pears are such an underrated
fruit.
They are. They're an underrated fruit. I think I would go pomegranate acai. That one has really grown on me, but I love the lotus pear and the citrus lime. So forget the boost and crash cycle. You want that feel-good energy. Get Sunshine today at your local Publix, QT, or even better, go online at drinkthesunshine.com. Use our code ACC10 at checkout to get 10% off your order. And make sure you vote in our Sunshine poll question of the week on Twitter. If you respond to that question, first of all, vote, then respond. You are entered to win a sampler 6-pack of Sunshine, which we will mail to you if you just respond. That's all you got to do. It's really easy.
Guys, it's a lot of fun. Sunshine loves to send this out to you guys. We've had a bunch of people win and have tasted it and already told us that they're hooked. So you've got to try it. And you can do that by simply voting and responding in our poll. All right, let's get to this big three. And I'm going to start with what we've been teasing this entire podcast, the game of the year. Number two, NC State at number one, Louisville. I wish this wasn't COVID crazy era and this game was just packed out. But regardless.
Because it would be.
Yeah, there's no doubt. It would be nuts. I mean, you wouldn't be able to move in the city of Louisville. People would be so jacked up. But tell me, what are we looking at in this game? Obviously, you've already mentioned some points, but maybe some other pieces that we haven't touched on.
This is actually courtesy of our guy, Brian Ives, who sends out some wonderful ACC nuggets. This is the fifth number one versus number two game in ACC women's basketball history, most of any conference.
Come on.
The most recent game actually featured Louisville back in 2019. Number one, Notre Dame beat number two, Louisville. And that's when Notre Dame went on to lose in the national championship game to Baylor. Still should have won that game. Coach should have had back-to-back. She knows it. She's still bitter, but they should have won. They totally should have won. Anyway, when you look at these two teams, they're incredibly fun to watch. And I'll just start with Louisville. You know about Dana Evans. I talk about her all the time. If you follow me on Twitter, you're thinking, why does this woman tweet about Dana Evans all the time? It's because I think she's the National Player of the Year. I think she's that special. And I called the Louisville-Wake Forest women's game on Sunday night. Louisville did not play their best. Dana had to put them on their back. On her back. She scored 25. She hit the game winner, game-winning layup, and her face, I mean, just stone cold.
She looked like Kobe. Like, yeah. She made the Kobe face out there.
Like, yeah, I did that. I did that, okay? And that's what she does. I love watching her play because she's so smooth. She is, Jeff Wall says she's the fastest player he's ever coached at Louisville. Plus, she shoots 40% from three. So you combine that together, it's crazy. And I just love her poise. She never gets rattled. She never really shows emotion. The first time I really saw her show emotion was when she hit that game winner against Wake. So she's a lot of fun to watch. Haley Van Lith, the star freshman, she hit six threes against Syracuse. She is incredible. Olivia Cochran down low. They have some really talented pieces. They are a younger team. They start two freshmen. NC State is full of veterans. They have two sophomores in their rotation, but beyond that, it is juniors and seniors galore. And Elisa Cunane is the anchor in the middle, 6'4", great touch around the basket, super skilled. If she doesn't play, then the biggest question is, how does NC State guard Louisville inside? How does NC State keep up with Louisville's depth? Because here's the thing. Westmore and NC State only really likes to play six players. So if you don't have Cunane, then you've got to bring in some other pieces, which he did against Virginia Tech. But these aren't exactly players he would probably play against Louisville if he did have Cunane. So that's a big piece of it. And again, that's the big question, is if Cunane plays or not.
And let's say she doesn't play. How much do you think that will alter Louisville's offensive attack? I mean, are they just trying to cram it down NC State's throat? Or are they just doing what they do?
Well, I think they're going to do what they do regardless. But there's no doubt, you know, Dana loves to attack the basket. And Dana Evans only 5'6". So if she's attacking the basket against Kayla Jones and some of those players who are around 6 foot, 6 foot one versus Elisa Cunane at 6'4", it's a huge difference. So it's a good question, Mac. I'll say with NC State is one of the best rebounding teams in the country. And if there is a weakness for Louisville, it is their rebounding. They don't, most of the time they play four guards, so they only have one post in there. And that's something that NC State will really try to exploit with or without Cunane. So that's a big key to watch for me. If NC State can out-rebound at Louisville, doesn't matter if Cunane's on the floor or not. If they can out-rebound them and get a lot of second chance points, that's what Wake Forest did to Louisville, and it was effective. So I think NC State has a chance. I think it's going to be a very, very close game if Cunane plays. I'm still leaning Louisville, though, especially at home. If Cunane doesn't play, it's probably not going to be as close. But I would be shocked if this game is decided by double digits.
Yeah, I hope, you know, Cunane is healthy. I hope both these teams, everybody is healthy, able to play, because this is just one you've had circled. And obviously, we've already moved it once. I can't wait to see it. I just hope that we do and that everybody's good to go and ready to play. Let's go on to number 16, Florida State on the men's side now at Georgia Tech. That'll be Saturday, 4 p.m. on ACC Network. Both of these teams kind of have something in combined or in, you know, similar. They just blew out the Clemson Tigers and made it look easy.
Oh, Mac, why you got to do that, man?
What are you seeing in this game from Florida State and Georgia Tech?
Yeah, so both these teams have interesting weeks. So I was looking at Florida State, Georgia Tech. This is the Saturday game. I think this is a big test for FSU. But before that, and we'll hit on one of these games in the speed round, Georgia Tech plays at Duke tonight. That's Tuesday night. And then Florida State will host Miami on Wednesday, a rivalry game. And Miami's playing pretty good. So I don't think FSU and Georgia Tech need to overlook those games. But here's a thing that I think we all need to understand on this podcast, right, Mac? Georgia Tech is good. The Georgia Tech men are good. I really like watching them play. They're kind of like NC State we were just talking about on the women's side. They only play seven players, the Georgia Tech men. So they don't have a lot of depth. And that's my biggest concern for them against Florida State. Because what does Florida State have? Depth. We talk about it all the time. Georgia Tech will only play seven guys. And can Moses Wright hold up inside when they're rotating big men at him? Can Jose Alvarado hold up and play 40 minutes when they're playing multiple guards for Florida State? So that's my biggest question for them. And just the other side of it, too, is Florida State's been so hot since they got back from their COVID pause. They're winning by nearly 20 points per game. They're shooting 49% from three as a team. I don't know how you're supposed to guard them. And that's kind of my main concern for Georgia Tech with only seven players. Can they keep up with FSU? Can they guard the three-point line really well for 40 minutes? But Jose Alvarado and Moses Wright together, they have been excellent. Moses Wright put on a clinic against Clemson. I mean, he just embarrassed their big men inside. So keep an eye on Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech is good. Both men's and women's teams are really good. And I think both teams should make the tournament.
I think when it comes down to it, I'm stealing your note here right here, but it was something that I already was going to address. I do think that the depth is going to be a factor for Georgia Tech. The fact that FSU is going to roll, you know, two platoons, five in, five out, and it's no drop-off. I mean, they can swap it up. They can mix it up, throw whoever out there they want. GT only plays seven, and I think that that is going to be an issue. I think we're going to continue to see Florida State roll. You saw the margin of victory. You just brought it up, nearly 18 points per game since they've come back from COVID. I think the Seminoles continue to really roll. How about we go to the Commonwealth Cup, if they call it that. They call it that in football.
The Commonwealth Clash on the court.
Number 8, Virginia at number 20, Virginia Tech. Saturday night, 6 p.m. on ACC Network. Look, some huge news, you know, came out of Blacksburg. The fact that Tyrese Radford suspended indefinitely, charged with a DUI. I mean, we were just talking about him 2 weeks ago as just a baller. I mean, a guy who is ACC Player of the Week, a guy who's just crashing the boards on Duke and really has been a huge difference maker. Now, it's indefinitely, so we don't know how long that can be. And you know, hopefully it works out to where we see that young man play again. But this is going to be an interesting matchup. Tell me what you're looking at here, Kelly.
That's a huge factor. I was so bummed to see that, obviously from a basketball perspective, but then just for him. And we hope that he gets whatever help he needs and that he can get back on track and get back on the team and get back to playing. I'm sure Coach Young will handle that as well as he can. But Tyrese Radford was coming off being named ACC Co-Player of the Week. Like, this guy has been great. I know Keve Aluma has been their leading scorer, but I think Tyrese Radford has arguably been Virginia Tech's most important player. And I watched that Virginia Tech Syracuse game. I gave out some picks Saturday morning before the game started. Check those out, by the way, at Kelly Gramlich on Twitter. I told you Syracuse was going to beat Virginia Tech because I was worried about Virginia Tech's lack of size against that Syracuse zone. And they were not able to rebound with Syracuse. Syracuse was getting tip back dunks and they were really dominating inside. And so when you contrast that with Virginia, you know, when you go from playing Syracuse to Virginia, Virginia also has legit size, but they're also a lot better offensively than Syracuse. I'm concerned for Virginia Tech in this matchup. And Virginia, coming off that big win over Cuse, you know, they rank seventh nationally in effective field goal percentage. They're fourth nationally in turnover rate. They don't turn the ball over. They're not going to let Virginia Tech get out in transition and spot up and get open threes in transition, which is what Virginia Tech loves. And what do they look like without Radford, who I think is the heart and soul of that team, especially defensively? Plus, we know Virginia has dominated this matchup in basketball. This is very weird, Mac, because Virginia Tech dominates it in football. Virginia dominates it in basketball. And it's like there's no in-between. It's very, very odd. And I don't know who's going to guard Jay Huff for Virginia Tech, because Virginia Tech, they just lack size overall. Keve Aluma is their biggest player. If he's going to try to guard Jay Huff, we saw what happened when Amir Sims tried to guard Jade Huff, who's about the same size as Keve Aluma. It did not work. So I think Virginia, they have just hit a different level. I think both Virginia and Florida State have flipped a switch. I just flipped the switch. They have flipped a switch, Mac, okay? And they are on a different level right now. And I'm just not sure who's going to be able to compete, at least this week. I don't see anyone really competing with them.
I'm right there with you. Virginia has won now 15 straight ACC games. They're 55-8 in conference
and
regular season play over the last 4 years. That is like far and away, guys. Go do your research. blowing everybody else in the country in any conference out of the water. Like you said, Virginia Tech is on another level. Well, guys, that was our Big Three breakdown brought to you by our great friends over at Sunshine Beverages. Kelly told you on the front end. I'm going to tell you on the back end. Make sure you go vote in the Sunshine Poll question of the week. It'll be on Twitter. You'll see it throughout the day, throughout these next couple of days. I'll retweet it. I'll repost it. And you'll have your chance to really get involved there and win you some Sunshine Beverages. You'll want to do that.
Oh, yeah.
Come on, Kelly. Let's get to the speed round. These will be nice and quick. There's a lot of good games here. First up, we're going to go on the men's side, North Carolina at Pitt tonight, 7 p.m. ACC Network. I cannot wait to watch this game. Tell me what you're looking forward to. Come on.
Your guy, Justin Champagne. We need to make sure Champagne knows that his biggest fan in the world is Eric Maclay. We need to like write him a letter.
I don't know. I've added him 100,000 times on Twitter. He has yet to even favorite one. So I'm not sure if he knows I exist, but I'll have to talk to my man up there, EJ. He's the SID. I think he'll take care of me. He'll hook me up.
Okay, Champagne, hello.
Do you not listen to this
Acknowledge
podcast?
Us.
This is the Champagne ACC Player of the Year camp right here. We're pushing hard, my man.
It is. Now, let me say this, though. I was disappointed in Pitt. They beat Duke. We called it here on the pod. And then they go and lay an egg at Wake Forest. Like, what are we doing, Pitt? Now, look, Wake Forest hit a bunch of threes. I mean, good for Wake Forest to get a win there. And good for Steve Forbes. I think Steve Forbes is going to build a good program in Winston-Salem. And it's tough to win on the road. And Wake just went off. They were shooting the ball well. But Pitt's back at home. And here's the rub. Pitt plays really well at home. North Carolina is terrible on the road. It's like if they have to get on a bus or a plane, they suddenly lose all their powers. I don't know what happens. They're 4-13 on the road over the past two seasons. That is insane. But this year so far, they're undefeated at home. They're a completely different team. And I think a lot of that has to do with their youth. We've talked about how RJ Davis and Caleb Love have played a lot better as of late. They're shooting 35% from three, and UNC is 35% from three since January 1st. Before that, 28%. And that's what we were saying on the pod. I remember the first basketball pod we did, I said, North Carolina cannot shoot. It is so bad. It's just like brick after brick after brick.
And it's so like bad brick, like brick.
It's bad.
Not like good misses, bad misses.
But they're playing better. And they're figuring out where to which shots to take, which shots are theirs. And what I really like about this UNC team is they're taking less threes. They only took 11 threes against NC State. They pounded it in the paint. They got it to their big guys. That's what you have to do against Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh is already undersized. Champagne's one of their bigger players at 6'6". So pound the rock inside, make threes when you have open looks, rebound the basketball. I think UNC is going to win this game at Pitt tonight. I like Pitt. I still think Pitt is fighting for a bubble spot. They're on kind of the fringe bubble. But North Carolina, they're starting to look like a tournament team to me. And I think UNC handles business.
They're getting hot, UNC, right at the right time. 5-1 in 2021. I think what you have to do here, Kelly, is use your size, pound the rock inside, and do what you do best. All right, let's move on to Georgia Tech at Duke later tonight, Tuesday, 9 p.m. on ESPN. Again, we saw Georgia Tech play really well against Clemson. We've seen Duke kind of struggle. What do you think you're going to see in this one?
Well, Mac, first of all, what's your major?
It was health science.
Okay. So imagine, no, I'm kidding. I'm not going to do this. But okay. Poor Coach K. He gets dragged through the mud all the time. Wait, it was health science. Did you change your major?
No, I did not.
Okay. You finished in health science, right?
I finished it.
Yeah, Mac was smart, y'all. Mac was not just a dumb
guy. 2 degrees from Clemson.
He could
2 degrees.
If you went to Clemson, you know what I'm about to say. He could have taken PRTM.
And I would have had about 6 degrees if I would have taken that route.
You could have been communication like
me.
That's right. But you went with a legit major. Way to go, Mac. Just kidding. Comm was great, but learned a lot. Okay, Georgia Tech at Duke. Here's the deal with this. As I have said, I have become a Georgia Tech stan on this pod. I love Georgia Tech. I think both their men's and women's teams are really fun to watch and do not get as much love as they should. But Georgia Tech is 1-17 in their last 18 trips to Cameron Indoor. Now, in their last 18 trips, there were fans. So that's a big difference here. And so I think all these Cameron Indoor stats, we kind of have to throw out the window. But Mac, I've just been so discouraged with how Duke has played basketball. They can't get to the free throw line. They can't make a three. Matthew Hurt is the only player on that team that can shoot. I thought Jalen Johnson, after his breakout game against Pitt, was going to be a little more consistent. He was nowhere to be found against Louisville. And they don't guard. Duke does not guard, especially on the perimeter. So Jose Alvarado is going to eat him up. I love how Jose Alvarado plays. And you pair that with DeVoe, who's been shooting the ball really well. Jordan Usher has been knocking down shots. I think Georgia Tech wins this game. I have to stop saying Duke's going to win this game because their pride is finally going to show up, because I tried that at Louisville and it didn't work. I think the Yellow Jackets get it done.
Yeah, I agree with you. Duke is just not playing good basketball. No defense, no rhythm on offense, throwing up terrible shots. It's not a good mix. All right, let's move on to tomorrow night, number 25 Louisville at Clemson, 9:00. This was kind of a last minute. If you're a Clemson fan, you are not happy, I don't think, about this happening, because you feel like your program's just kind of free-falling. You started off great. COVID hits you, and now you're playing really bad basketball. Oh, by the way, a ranked team's coming to town. How do you see this one playing out, Kelly?
Clemson was supposed to play Boston College, and BC is on a COVID pause. So they just switched out Boston College, which was probably going to be a win for the Tigers, and they throw in Louisville. Again, I'm not sure if Louisville should be ranked. I really don't. I wouldn't have ranked them this week. I don't think a win over Duke is enough to rank them after they were embarrassed by Florida State on their home floor. But what I really like about Louisville is Carlick Jones. He's playing the most minutes in the ACC. He's averaging 18.5 points per game, nearly 5 assists per game. It is arguable that the best player in the ACC is a grad transfer from Radford. He is that good, and he is tenacious. He is not going to give up. He plays with so much heart and passion, and I love watching him play. He reminds me a little bit, Clemson fans, of Marquise Reed. He's not a true point guard, or Carlick Jones is a true point guard. Marquise Reed wasn't, but I see a lot of similarities, and both guys that came from mid-major programs and are just flat-out scorers. So the big key here for Clemson, can those guards put up a fight? Can they slow down Carlick Jones and David Johnson? You've got to be able to guard the ball better. We spent the first 6 weeks of the season praising Clemson for how they guard the ball. And then all of a sudden, they can't guard the ball. So I don't know what the heck has happened, but I mentioned earlier a pride game for Duke. This is a pride game for Clemson. You're back at home. Like you said, Mac, your program has been in basically a free fall. Can someone step up and lead this team? And I think it all starts for Clemson on the defensive end, getting in front of and staying in front of Carlick Jones and David Johnson.
If these last three games have not been a wake-up call for the Tigers, then just hold on, Clemson fans, because it's about to get really, really bad. All right, before we wrap it up, let's finish on the women's side. Clemson at Pitt tonight, Tuesday, 7 p.m., ACC Network Extra. Tell me what you're seeing in this game, Kelly.
Well, first of all, tonight is a crazy night.
It's a lot of basketball.
We've got a lot of games. Yeah, it's a really exciting night. You can just sit down and watch some hoops. I'm really excited about this game. And I believe my guy Terrence Oglesby is calling it on ACC Network Extra, so check it out. It's a very important game for Clemson, who's trying to make the NCAA tournament. And they lost to Pitt back on December 13th when DeLisha Washington was out with an ankle injury. Kendall Spray is coming off hitting 7 threes against Syracuse. Pittsburgh is a two-woman team. Dashanette Harris, Jayla Everett, both two cold-blooded scorers. You can't let them get hot. That's what happened last time. Those two got hot in the fourth quarter, and it was over. So this is a huge game for the Tigers. Got to stay on that bubble. Can't afford to lose a game like this at home. I'm going to be watching tonight at 7. We'll see if Clemson can pull it together and get on their way to making their second tournament in 3 years. A huge game for Clemson and a really big game for Pittsburgh as well. Guys, that was our speed round. This podcast is produced by Richmond Weaver. We appreciate him so much. He does an awesome job. He helps us sound good. You can check out his podcast, Rich Take on Sports, wherever you get your pods. He has had a lot of really awesome guests, including me and Mac, but also including people that are a lot more important than me and Mac. So go check out his podcast, Rich Take on Sports, wherever you get your pods.
All right, guys, that's it for this episode of Gramlich and Mac Lane, brought to you by our great friends over at Traeger Grills. It flew by. This was a fun episode. There's a ton of basketball to watch this week and in the upcoming weekend. Don't forget, Thursday, we're going to have a huge episode. LaChyna Robinson, you're not going to want to miss it. Guys, thanks for listening. If you haven't already, go over to iTunes, subscribe to the podcast, drop us a little rating, a little review. It's always fun to hear from you guys. But until next time, we'll see y'all.